Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee for October 2nd. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and our secretary, Jane Gatewood, will now call the roll.
Ken Aaron? Fred Blair? Lydia Brazan?
Here.
Michael Novick?
Present.
Ivan Alsame? Revlon Gold?
Present.
Thomas Porter? Jane Gatewood is present. Nia Bediako?
Present.
Carolyn Burden? Bob Lederer?
Here.
Manajay Sabo?
Present.
Anthony Fess?
Here.
Sasha Fuchon?
Here.
Andrea Turner?
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Teresa Allen? Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Nancy Sabarno Tomi? Just one moment, I'll tell you. We have a quorum. Just a second, I'll tell you how many. One moment. There's 12 members present. That's a quorum.
Okay, thanks very much. All right, so folks who are online may have seen that I posted a draft agenda a little earlier, and I'll read it for those who aren't online and for those listening on the stream, and then we can discuss it. After the call to order and roll call and, of course, agenda approval, then we go into the substantive items. So that's one and two. Number three would be review and approval of available minutes for 10 minutes. Four, selection of next committee meeting date for 10 minutes. Five, report on PNB actions on motions recommended by the Elections Committee for 5 minutes. Six would be report from the National Election Supervisor, and that includes questions and answers. There seemed to be a bunch of issues, so I allocated 40 minutes for that altogether. Seven, candidate cart update and discussion, 15 minutes. Eight, motion on revisions of election timeline for 15 minutes. That's carried over from last month. Nine, procedures for processing complaints about alleged violations of fair campaign provisions, 15 minutes. 10, ballot tabulation. This is another carryover item. The location, whether it would be the corporate offices of, or New York City.
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. And procedures for 15 minutes. And then 11, whether to post the ballot images with the PIN numbers after tabulation for 10 minutes. That's another carryover item. And then 12 would be motions regarding qualifications and record keeping for unpaid staff voting members for 40 minutes with an adjournment at 10:30 Eastern. Are there any amendments? So I move that agenda.
This is Teresa. I want you to know that I'm here.
Oh, hi, Teresa. Okay. Thank you.
This is Sasha. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying strict attention to that. I had added three items, and I'd like to hold them off for next month.
Oh, okay. All right.
And this is Lydia.
Yes.
There was a ballot question from Terry, actually, to the K directors, but we can add that to the agenda. Is Terry going to be on the call?
He's here. Actually, my mistake. I didn't actually call his name, Terry. Terry,
yes, I'm here.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah. So, Lydia, are you asking that to be a separate item or just incorporated in the report from Terry? Either way is fine.
Either way. Well, maybe a separate item in case we, so that we can find it down the road if we need to refer back.
Okay.
And Revlon has...
Yeah, hang on one second. Let me just clarify.
So the item would be number of ballot ranking columns.
Okay, and where on the agenda would you like that? Do you have a copy of the agenda in front of you?
Hold on. Not exactly, but
We can come back to you in a minute.
Right by his report. Because
oh, okay. So. Number of columns on ballot. Okay. And how many minutes, Lydia?
Two or three. It shouldn't take long.
2 or 3 minutes?
Well, okay. Fine. Is that better?
Oh,
I'm sorry?
On.
Five?
Okay.
Four.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Revelyn?
Yeah. It may be included in Terry's report, but I really would like for us to start looking at how to ensure that we can reach quorum.
Okay.
In the different areas, especially I know W has been an issue each year that I've won for 3 years.
Sure. Okay. Well, would it be okay with you if we to some extent, I tried to put these in sort of a rough chronological order. So since that's a little bit later, not saying it's less important, just a little later, could we make that maybe between 9 and 10? Do you have a copy in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I think that's fine, just as long as we don't wait until we're in the middle of the, towards the end, and realize that, we don't have enough people participating.
Absolutely.
Because we haven't beaten the drum loud enough or something.
Right. No, it's a very important issue. Mm-hmm. So how many minutes would you like to allocate?
Oh, how about 7?
Okay. Very good. Any other amendments?
Yes, Nancy.
Nancy,
I'd like to put the problem of candidates' access to the voters' emails and not being there, and also the timeline of the candidate forms at KPFT are like December 7th was one of, I don't know if that's the last one or not, but it's like 4 days before the ballot receipt deadline, and that's kind of, at that Christmas rush time, it's very difficult. I would like to see these forms moved up earlier than, like, before Thanksgiving, because of...
Okay, hold on, Nancy. Nancy, we can get into the discussion when we get to that item. So just the overall item is just timing of candidate forums. Is that it?
No, it's timing of candidate forums. But the other thing is the access of the voters' emails, the candidates' access to the email to the emails of the voters. We have already the voters' access to the candidates, but I'm talking about the other way around.
Okay,
and
all right.
Okay.
That's fine. So how many minutes for each of those topics?
Oh, I don't know, 5 minutes each.
Okay. All right. So if it's okay,
I did make two motions. I just sent them. I don't know if you want to put them later.
No, I haven't seen them. But
order. Point of order.
Yes, point of order.
Point of order. Couldn't Terry Parisius be clear at this point that there is no way that we can give the candidates everyone's email addresses?
Well, why don't we hear when we get to the item, let's hear what Nancy has to say, and then we can pose the question to Terry. I'm not quite clear what the issue is, so why don't we wait till we get there?
Okay.
Okay, so Nancy, can we put those right after the item about how to ensure a quorum?
Oh, anywhere you think is best, that's fine.
Okay, great. All right, any other amendments?
Did someone else join the call?
Yeah, has anyone joined since we called the roll? Okay, all right, any other amendments?
This is not an amendment, Bob.
Yeah.
Could you please review the...
Yes, I was just about to.
Thanks.
I was just waiting to see if there's any more, but if it sounds like not, so then let's go through what we've agreed on, or what we were asking to agree on. So the new items would be 6A would be number of columns on ballot for 5 minutes. Let's see, 9A would be how to ensure a quorum for 7 minutes. 9B would be candidate access to voters' emails for 5 minutes. 9C would be timing of candidate forums for 5 minutes. Did I miss anything?
Nancy, one more thing. The reading of the 500-word candidate statement possibility at KPFT, since each candidate is given a 19-minute forum slot. on air.
Well, okay. Can we just lump that into the candidate forum question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay. All right. So,
Jane.
Yes, Jane.
Those three items, the one about most of those are related to the supervisors. At least two of them sounded like they were directly related to what the supervisors felt they're going to report on. So I would just suggest that the ones that are related to what he might be reporting on, we deal with under his report.
Well, that's fine, but can we just leave it and see what he does report on, and if it covers it, then great, then it's
Resolved.
But if not, to leave it till later, because those are all a little bit later in the process issues. So.
Okay, so A was 7 minutes for achieving quorum. What was B?
B was candidate access to voters' emails for 5 minutes. C was timing of candidate forums for 5 minutes.
And
okay.
What was C?
C was timing.
D. There was a D, wasn't there?
No. Nancy agreed we could fold in her new point to C.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so is there any objection to any of those amendments? Hearing none, then the agenda is adopted as amended. All right, so the first item is the review and approval of available minutes. Now, Jane, do you, well, I know you did post the June 29th.
We approved the 29th and July 17th at the August 7th meeting.
Okay.
The August 7th minutes look like they're not quite finished, sorry.
Okay, all right. And then Michael was kind enough to very quickly turn around the September 16th minutes. I don't know if folks have had a chance to read them. Do you want to is there any objection to considering them tonight, or does someone need us to postpone?
This is Jane. I'd like to propose that we postpone because we have so much to deal with.
Okay. Is there any objection to postponing approval of the September 16th minutes?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So that'll be done at the next meeting. Speaking of which, the next agenda item is the next meeting date. I would like to propose Monday, October 22nd, usual time, 8:30 Eastern. And the reason for so soon is that we're entering a very intensive period in the election calendar and leading up to the ballot mailing on November 6th. And so I just think, as it is, I seriously doubt we're going to get through everything on this agenda tonight. And I know that, you know, from past election experience, I can say that, you know, new things pop up every week. So how do people feel about that date, Monday, October 22nd?
Michael Novick, that is the National Day of Action Against Police Brutality, repression, the criminalization of a generation. I know there's a big demonstration here in L.A. that I'll be part of going into the evening.
Well, I mean, one of the problems we're up against in October is that the calendar is quite full. The Pacifica calendar is quite full. So every day except Friday of those of all of these weeks is all the weeks up through then is booked. Michael, did you have an alternative suggestion?
I just looked at the calendar. I don't know who else is on the other committees.
Well, I'm just saying we're supposed to not conflict in terms of streaming with any other committee. And can someone please mute who has some talking in the background? So that's what I'm saying. I have the calendar open, and every single day of the month is taken up through the 29th, and I'm just concerned about waiting all the way to the 29th. It's a little more than a week before the ballots are mailed.
Well, I guess you should go ahead with the 22nd. I'll try to get on when I can.
Okay. Any other comments on the 22nd?
Yeah, I was planning to do something there, but I'll try to be back by the night.
Okay.
Fridays are open the 19th or 20th. Not good.
Well, it's up to the committee. Would there be objections to Friday the 19th?
of October. Right?
Of October, right.
And we will have had a PNB meeting the Thursday before?
Well, I don't know. The calendar I'm looking at right now, the KPFTX says that PNB is meeting on the 11th and the 25th.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't say anything about that.
But we've been
meeting every week, though.
Oh, really?
We've been meeting until the budgets are approved. But if Michael and Nancy said that they could make it, I think we should grab it.
This is Lydia. I can make it.
Are you talking about Friday now?
The 22nd.
This is Tracy. Just for what it's worth, I can't make it on the 19th. I've got plans. I'm going to be in Sacramento, but, you know, that's okay. But I'm just letting you know that it's not possible for me.
I can't make it on 19th.
Okay.
Let's go back to 26.
All right.
Bob, I was talking about the 22nd.
Right. Okay.
Which is rapid.
All right. So returning to that, since there were several people who couldn't make the 19th, is there any objection to the 22nd?
And what day is that?
That's Monday. Okay. Well, hearing none, then our next meeting will be on Monday, October 22nd, 8:30 Eastern. Okay, thank you, everyone. All right, the next item is a report on the PNB actions on the two motions that we recommended at our last meeting. Those of you who had time to look at the agenda, you'll see that I pasted in the one motion on candidate carts, which, one of the PNB members could explain what happened. It was amended and then passed. Lydia, I know you would kind of mentioned what had happened. Do you want to explain?
Okay. So we are number five?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, is Carolyn on the phone?
No, she's not on.
Anyway, Carolyn made a motion having to do with the carts, or it could have been an amendment. I'm not at my computer right now. But anyway, to clarify the issue of the disclaimer and the announcement about going to the website before or after the candidate statement, clarifying that it would be before any group of statements, since that's the way that most of the stations do. They usually run small groups of statements, and to have those disclaimers and announcements about the websites either immediately before or immediately after, but not after each candidate.
Okay.
And the board passed that.
Right. And this was just, for those who may not recall, this was an amendment to the main motion, which called for changing the requirement, which in previous elections had been at least 30 airings of each candidate's cart throughout the entire election cycle, reducing that to a minimum of 20. So that was passed with the amendment that Lydia just mentioned. Okay, and then Lydia, you want to explain what happened to the motion that the committee had recommended calling for a survey on electronic voting this year instead of actually doing electronic voting this year?
No, I think that it was voted against doing the survey.
Right.
And simply going to electronic voting, although I think our ED was leaning the other way as of our last meeting, so I don't know where that stands.
Okay, well, I think Terry will address that in the next item. Okay, so any questions? Is everyone clear on what the PNB, well, on the one hand, adopted, on the other hand, didn't adopt? Any questions?
Well, I'm sorry, this is Revelyn.
Yes.
They adopted that there would only be 20...
Here, why don't I just read it so it's clear to everyone. For this election, in total, each candidate shall have her or his cart aired a minimum of 20 times in a variety of times of the day and week, including equal airings in both morning and afternoon drive times. When candidate audio cards are played, there shall be an announcement that candidate audio cards can be accessed at the station website. These announcements may precede or follow a group of candidate cards. Candidate cards may be grouped in blocks at the top and bottom of the hour. That was what they adopted. I mean, there was some whereas clauses, but that's the action part.
Yes.
Jane for the sec.
Okay, go ahead, Jane.
So I don't understand what the role of the PMB is in adopting a motion like that. Could you just help me understand? I thought that the National Election Supervisor was in charge of decisions like that, and that anything that this committee or the PMB might have would just simply be advisory. I just don't get this motion. I don't understand it.
This is Terry. Can I
sure, answer that? Sure, absolutely.
The National Board, this Elections Committee, and the Executive Director can't tell the election supervisors to do anything. The bylaws make it very clear that because of conflict of interest, et cetera, you guys are all suspect. So you guys can't tell us how to run the election. We follow the bylaws. However, on the other flip side of that is we can't tell any station management or staff to do anything. We can only request it. Whereas we're not the bosses of the station. The employees of the station and the management are responsive to the general manager, who's responsive to the executive director, who's responsive to the Pacific National Board. So you guys tell the station people what they will do, and they either cooperate with you or don't, or you fire them or whatever. We as election supervisors try and work with the foundation according to what the foundation wants done within reason, but our primary function is just to make sure that the election process is fair and balanced, so that if you were to pass resolutions saying that, you know, candidates whose names start with A through M will have 10 airings and other people will have 50, we'd say that's not fair. So we can't tell anybody what to do, and you can't tell me what to do. So it's one of these really unusual dynamics. But the station staff, in theory, are responsive to the policy that the National Board creates, because the executive director is supposed to try and follow through with that, and she can fire the general managers or whatever. So it's very Byzantine.
Okay, yeah, thanks for that clarification. Okay, did I hear someone else, or we're just about out of time? Was there another question? Okay, and speaking of time, I neglected to ask for a volunteer timekeeper. Would someone please agree to do that?
Feeling none.
Revelyn, are you volunteering?
Okay. Let me get my cell phone so I can.
Okay, I really appreciate it.
Okay,
can whoever has sirens in the background please mute?
Somebody mute.
Okay, can whoever is out in traffic please mute their phone? All right, thanks.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so the next item is the report from the National Election Supervisor, including questions and answers, and we're allocating 40 minutes for that. So, Revelyn, maybe you could you make a note to tell us at the 20-minute point when we've arrived at 20 minutes?
Okay.
The first 20 and then the, you know, the final 20. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, Terry, take it away.
Okay. There have been a lot of challenges recently. I think the nub of almost all of them has been money. The Election Services Corporation contract kept not being signed. The original deadline for them receiving our voter list has passed, and you know, there's some flexibility. I mean, the deadline was, you know, what they wanted. I'm sure they have built-in flex in that. But I told Otis, you have to decide whether you feel it's appropriate to send the member list to an organization that has not signed a contract binding them to keeping them confidential, and probably that's not something that you would want to do. And, of course, he didn't. As of I guess this morning I got a confirmation that the contract has been signed by both parties, by Summer and by Election Services Corporation. So we now have a contract. My impression is one of the reasons for the delay was, and I'm not authoritative on this, but I'm just, you know, full disclosure. My sense is that one of the provisions of the contract is there's a upfront deposit, and there have been cash flow issues for Pacifica about would such a check bounce. And so I think there was a delay in signing the contract until there was a feeling there was enough cash to cover the deposit. Related to that also is the fact that my paycheck was delayed for 3 weeks, and I got close to the point of saying I'm not working on the elections anymore. I did get that check. My check that it was due yesterday has not arrived, but that's not surprising because I just sent them my invoice. And talking with Summer, I offered to have my pay cut in half with reduced hours of work to try and make it more financially viable. So I offered that, but I haven't gotten that contract back from the foundation yet as to whether that's going to happen. Presumably, no one would refuse to offer a contract where the contractor offers to work for half pay. I am working part-time, as it is, and there are certain weeks where it's very heavy, but there are other weeks where it's very light. The work is primarily being done by the local election supervisors. They're the ones that are really in the trenches. So presumably that will be straightened out, and I'll have my contract, a revised contract. The next thing, the internet voting. One of the provisions that Summer decided to change in the contract was to get rid of internet voting. I think she still liked the idea of doing it, but here again, this is not official because I don't really know, but my impression of her thought process was, are there any places in this contract where we can shave money without doing harm? And the internet voting had approximately $5,000 price tag, which was hoped would be counterbalanced by savings in postage, by not having to pay so much for the business reply envelope, return postage when people mail back their ballots because they could vote online instead and not cost the foundation the postage. But the deposit is based on the total contract for the services, so the upfront cost to the foundation would be higher if internet voting were included, and the savings would not be achieved until the postage bill came due in December. It might be actually cost neutral, but it's cash flow beneficial, as it were. So she decided to not do the internet voting. So the contract that was signed with Election Services Corporation does not have a website, does not have internet voting. Let's see, what else do I have to report? So anyway, I talked about how the voter lists, they wanted them as of last week. And all the local election supervisors have provided their voter lists, listeners and staff. They are not optimal. Some stations actually provided lists that have a lot of postal addresses missing. Apparently, at least some stations, when people donate online, they can just enter an email address and don't even have to give a postal address, which they probably are not aware that by doing so they're effectively, well, potentially disenfranchising themselves. So, and some staff lists, particularly unpaid staff, there were at some stations large numbers of unpaid staff for whom there was no postal address. Mm-hmm. They're still eligible to vote if they are members. In our contract with Election Services Corporation, there is a provision that they will set up a help desk, a toll-free phone line, so that we will do on-air announcements after the ballots should have arrived in people's mailboxes at home, saying the ballots have been mailed, you should have received your ballot by now. If you are a member and have not received your ballot, call this toll-free number to get a ballot. So they will be staffing that toll-free number if somebody calls and says, I didn't get my ballot, they'll look to see whether they mailed one. They can void the ballot if they mailed it and mail them a replacement ballot. If they did not mail them a ballot because they didn't have a postal address, but they are on the member list, they will then get their postal address and mail it. If the person is not on their member list, they will contact the local election supervisor to check out the details and figure out whether the person should have been on the list. That means they have to contact the person, ask whether, you know, do you have proof that you paid? You know, sometimes the stations make mistakes. Do you have, you know, a copy of your credit card statement or something like that? So that's talking about the list. So the lists have been gathered. Otis from the Foundation Central Office, basically the computer guy, has all the lists. He's been reformatting them into the format that Election Services Corporation needs in terms of the fields, the field lengths for each of the, you know, address lines and so on. We need to have member ID numbers for everybody that are unique, and most of the stations don't assign ID numbers to staff and so on, so we have to create numbers. And so Otis is working on all those details and getting it formatted, and he's insisting that each local election supervisor certify that the list is the one to send, because I was not aware of this until recently. I guess one year WBAI provided a list for the wrong year, and there was some lawsuit about that, or something. I don't know if it was a lawsuit, but anyway, it's an expensive mistake. And so the election supervisors, I think all but maybe one of them so far, have certified. So presumably Otis will be uploading the voting list to the corporation tomorrow. They will then do another deduping. Each of the stations was supposed to eliminate duplications and so on, but that was not done that well at all stations. And the Election Services Corporation will also compare lists from all the stations, so that if an individual is on more than one station's donor list, which can happen, people can donate to several stations, but by the bylaws they're only allowed to vote in one election, I will have to then contact them and ask them which election they want to vote in. So anyway, that extra deduping stage is what Election Services Corporation will be doing next with the lists. Let's see. Carts. Some of the stations are far along. In fact, are essentially almost done recording candidate statements. Some of the stations haven't even begun. And at some stations, it seems that there's a resistance to recording carts by candidates. Here again, there's a certain amount of speculation on my part. We found that at some stations, slates were basically advising their candidates not to send in their candidate statements so that the quote-unquote opposition couldn't read them and craft their statements in response, so they wanted to get them in at the last second, which created a real hardship for the local election supervisors, because then they got all the statements at the end and editing became difficult and getting them cleaned up. That was one of the reasons why there was a lot of delay with getting candidates announced, because a lot of candidates did not put in their material, not only finished putting it in by the deadline, but we had a grace period for people to fix defects, and some candidates waited to the very end of the grace period to finalize those. And my speculation is that it might be that some stations, the recording of carts is suffering from a similar dynamic. Some candidates aren't willing to record their statement on the cart because they're afraid that somehow some staff person or somebody will leak it to an opposition who will then tailor their cart in response. So at some stations, we're not getting candidates coming forward to record their carts at all. Other stations, it's essentially finished. As for the length and batch bunching them, that's fine. I told all the local election supervisors that they should work with the program director, the people at the station, about how the station management staff want to air the carts. I don't feel it's our place to mandate whether they are bunched or not, but it's fine if they are. And if they are batched, we would only do a single disclaimer at the end of the batch. And that's an issue, basically, for local election supervisors to work out with the station personnel about how they want to air them. It's fundamentally not a question of fairness from our perspective. It doesn't matter in terms of fairness from our perspective whether they're batched like that or not. It's a station issue, and so each local election supervisor is dealing with their individual station on that matter. I could talk about ballot design and the number of ranking columns, but since you have an agenda item for that, I think I'll wait until you get to that agenda item. I guess I would end with, in terms of the number of candidates, we do have enough candidates at all stations. In fact, we have a surplus. I won't say surplus. We have a plentitude at some stations. In terms of listener candidates, KPFA, I think, has 20 listener candidates. KPFK, I think, has 38 listener candidates. KPFT, I think, has 19. WBAI, I think, has 20. WPFW has something like 24, 25, something like that. And there's more than, and also for the staff elections, there are more staff candidates than seats at all stations. At most stations, there's about roughly twice as many candidates as there are seats, but not uniformly. I think that's it for my report. I guess that's now time for questions.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Okay, so the floor is open for questions.
Lisa for the stack.
And this is Lydia for the stack.
Okay. Teresa, Revelin, Lydia. Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
Thank you very much, Terry, for your report. On the national level, money is really a consideration. And I did mention that opting in versus opting out, which is what we're having, could save us a lot of money if we could still make quorum. Maybe I missed it. Did you say anything that of what we're going to do? To,
yeah, we're way far down that.
Motivate people.
We're way past that. That was an option that I talked with Arlene about a cost saving option of mailing every member notice about how they could get a ballot. And she said no, people would never go for that. There are too many people who insist on the ballots being mailed. So the decision was to go ahead and mail a paper ballot to every voter, and at the stage when Arlene was executive director, the idea was, and with that ballot would be instructions for how they could vote online if they wished. So the contract with the Service Corporation, there's no opt-in, opt-out. Everybody's getting a paper ballot, and that's
no, Terry, it wasn't the ballot that we were talking about opting in or out of. It was the huge booklet of candidate statements.
Right. Okay, yeah.
And supposedly we're going to encourage people to opt out and say they don't want this booklet.
What Arlene decided with me, based on the fact that in some previous election, maybe it was 2010 even, booklets were not mailed, and the PNB went wild and ordered that the executive director mail them, and there was many thousands of everybody up not again, and so the booklet is in the contract. It's the shorter statement, each candidate's 150 word statement rather than the 500 word statement.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Revelin.
I just wanted to express gratitude for your stepping up and taking a reduced salary. Along with reduced hours, I understand that, but I think it was a something that showed your sincerity about the work and something that has encouraged, I know I'll just speak for myself, to really feel more energy in this election.
Well, thank you, but I have to be honest that one of my considerations is that if I left my contract at the amount, I was afraid the whole endeavor would just collapse.
I understand.
And so I'd rather get paid for another 3 months than not get paid at all.
I understand. but still, you know, it was a way to work it out because you could have walked away. Thank you.
Okay. Lydia?
Yeah. Terry, you mentioned that when you were talking about not having the e-voting, you also said that the website was no longer in the contract. Can you explain what that website
There's two websites. There's two websites. There's the foundation website, which is there and will continue to be there, which every candidate will be there. It'll be linked from the individual station websites, and so all the candidate statements, the short one, the long one, the questionnaire responses, their audio carts, probably most stations will be doing photographs too. That will be there. What was not going to happen is the Election Services Corporation was going to have a website that would also have the candidate information that would be linked directly to the ballot, so people could you know, look back and forth, this candidate, and go right back towards the ballot and research as they're marking their ballot. That whole piece is gone.
I see. Thank you.
Okay. More questions?
Yeah, Sasha.
Okay, Sasha, and then myself. Go ahead, Sasha.
So, hi, Terry. And I'll join with the other voices in saying, you know, thank you for being considerate and thoughtful and recognizing the issues and problems clearly. This was something that transpired in email, and I'm sort of at a loss. There was a reference to videos are okay, and I'm not sure what videos are being referred to. Where do videos end?
I got an email from someone asking whether it would be okay for people to videotape the in-person candidate forums and put those up online. And I basically said yes, as long as they were websites that were not associated with the foundation or the station. If they were associated with the foundation or station, then they would have to be balanced so that all candidates got equal time. They could not be edited, you know, that kind of thing. So that basically was a response to a question somebody asked about could they videotape, and also whether they could even videotape, you know, slate groups doing things. I said you can videotape whoever you want doing what anything, but if it's going to be linked from the station website or mentioned on air, it has to be equal amongst all candidates.
Can individual stations also determine that they will forbid videos? And the reason I ask that is that there were videos used in the last election by one slate in which the editing was done so that the candidates of the other slate looked like idiots.
Well, if they're edited, then that would, you know, that's not fair to all candidates. That would be a violation of the fair campaign provisions if it was done by a staff person, et cetera. So, yes. In terms of whether a station could ban them, of course a station can. In other words, as local election supervisors, we are not dictating what is actually done in terms of voter education. We're dictating that whatever is done fairly.
Okay.
Okay. I have a couple questions myself. On the question of you said the CART scheduling would be up to the local program directors together with the LESs as far as whether to bunch them and, you know, have the website and the disclaimer at the end, et cetera. Just since the schedule is very fast for this, have you heard back yet what the outcome is at any of the stations on that question?
I have had a couple of conversations with a couple of local election supervisors. I'm pretty sure that at, for example, BAI, they're going to be clumped together, but I don't know at most of the stations which way they're going. It's, you know, as part of my trying to work for less money, it's local election supervisors, they're running the elections. I'm their advisor, and I tell them the deadlines, and I tell them the rules, and they run them.
Right.
So I don't know specifically. You have to ask your local election supervisor.
Okay. Now, a related question about CARTs is in the, I believe it was the last election, there were some instances where, for whatever reason, I don't know why, that there were some CARTs that were actually voiced by station staff rather than the candidate themselves.
Right. Here's the policy on that.
Yes.
Some candidates may not be able to record their CARTs for a couple of reasons. Either they just can't get to the station, or in at least one or two candidates' cases, they've been banned from the station and are not allowed to go to the studio. Those CARTs will have to be either recorded over the phone, or if the person just can't do it, they can be. The rule is that the local election supervisor can have an anonymous voice, that's the phrase I've used, record a CART on behalf of the candidate, like even just reading their 150-word statement or a special statement that they submit. but that the voice has to be either the local election supervisor or some unrecognized voice.
Okay.
There could obviously be an implied endorsement if it were a recognizable staff.
Right. Well, I think that's a good policy, although I am a little concerned about allowing any local election supervisor to do it just because they will, or I assume, as in past elections, they will occasionally come on the air to give kind of an update on what's the procedures, and they usually moderate the debates, and so that, then they become a recognized voice. And even though, obviously, we know that they're not endorsing the person whose statement they're reading, some people may believe, you know, that because they hear that voice, that somehow that person is associated with the candidate. So it might be problematic to have them be one of the voices.
Well, it's a matter of getting the job done as we can get done. You know, if they're there and the only other people there are staff who either won't do it or are inappropriate to have do it, and you got to get it done, you're not going to go out in the street and try and find an anonymous voice. So it's, you know, I hear what you're saying, but the fact is, the voices that will be known, quite frankly, are the voices of the people who are on the air every week. Those are the local election supervisors,
right.
You know.
Okay.
We
all right.
We just passed our 20 minutes.
I was just getting ready to say we are 9:27, so we're 3 minutes past the 20.
Okay, thank you. All right, so just a couple more questions I have. When the ballot mailing is put together, I know there's been discussion about having some other pieces in with the ballot, including a fundraising appeal and a programming survey. And, well, first of all, are those two still happening as far as you know, and are there any other pieces besides the business reply envelope that would go in that mailing?
Arlene had appointed someone to design the insert that would have a very, very short questionnaire from the station about programming or that kind of thing, very few questions, and then also an appeal. I did see an early draft of all five stations' versions of that, and some of them were fine, some of them were extremely problematic, and I gave feedback, and I have not seen a subsequent version. Let's see, what is her name? Is it Ursula?
Right, Ursula would be the affiliates coordinator.
Ursula and partner Chris were the people who were doing the design, as far as I know, and they had asked the general managers to give them questions. I'm keeping an arm's length, except for, I'll give you just one example. Like, one of the questions was, which of these do you think we should do? Are we doing well? Which do you think we're doing poorly? Where one is poor and five is doing it excellently. And I said, oh, my God, we have a ranked ballot where one is good for the candidates, and you want to make one bad in this questionnaire? That's going to just confuse people who make me mismark their ballot. So I said, no, you may not have a question which reverses the meanings of one and five from how it is on the voter for the candidate. So there were things like that I caught. But other than that, other than things that affect the election, I'm not going to weigh in on that. I will say that I was not impressed with the quality of the fund appeal. It was sort of like, here's the credit card form kind of thing. But it might have been that was merely a placeholder, and that may not have been what was actually, you know, I saw an early draft, in other words, so I don't know.
Okay, well, do you know who's going to actually finalize that?
Well, Ursula and Chris were working on it, and I assume it was...
Oh, they're working on both documents?
They're working... It's a combined document.
Oh, it's all the survey is combined
at the top
with the appeal?
And questionnaire at the bottom.
I see.
And presumably they would work on it, and when it was Arlene who assigned it, it was she as the executive director who would be signing off on it. I don't know... I'm not sure how aware Summers even is of it.
Okay, well, just last point. I think it would be good if some other people could just look at it, especially given the problems that you've just pointed
out. Yeah,
that's
an issue for the foundation. It's not an elections issue.
Okay. All right. Other questions from other members?
So the timing, yeah, I'm sorry, this is Jane.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so we...
we had set 40 minutes.
Yeah, at WPSW, a message came through just today that with information about recording the carts tomorrow through Friday. And it's the first that we had heard anything about it. And so I'm just kind of like, well, you know, I can't do anything the next 3 days. I don't understand why it's just one day's notice, you know, beginning tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. So my question for you, Terry, is what's the real timing in terms of if the ballots are going to be mailed in November? Are we looking at airing carts like the second 2 weeks of October? Or?
Well, the goal is to get the carts on as soon as possible. The fact is the election supervisors have been out straight trying to get the voter list cleaned up, which has been an absolute nightmare. I got to say, when you get to the thing about requiring stations to do a better job of keeping track of volunteers and unpaid staff, etc., it's just, it is unconscionable how horrible the record keeping is. And so the election supervisors, some of them have been lucky and have had stations where the data people are completely on top of it, but most of them are not. And so at some stations, they're pretty far along with the candidate reporting, but at other stations, they haven't even started, and they're trying to do it as fast as they can because we want to get the carts up as soon as we can. But I can't comment on any particular station. All I can say is appeal to your local election supervisor to mm-hmm. add additional dates.
Okay, but the goal is to begin airing them now and continue airing them all the way through until...
Right. Here's the thing is some stations are about to do another fund appeal for 3 weeks or something like this, and which during those often they don't air candidate carts during fund drives. And so there's all kinds of reasons why we want to get at least some of the 20 per person on as soon as we can, because there will be, otherwise they're going to just be crunched up at the end and it's going to be just driving people off, turning off the radio because it's so many carts. So we want to try and get them on as soon as we can, but at some stations, we haven't even been able to get them recorded at all yet. So each station has a unique, you know, how far along they are.
This is Revelin. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
We have about 12 minutes, 11 more minutes.
Okay.
We're at 40. and this has to do with counting the ballots, and I had made a suggestion earlier that rather than trying to find a place to rent in Manhattan and have people trekking over there, that we videotape.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Revelin. That's actually on the agenda later.
Okay, fine.
We're trying to keep it in somewhat of a chronological order.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, so if you can just hold that thought, we'll come back to you.
Perfect.
Okay, mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Is it okay for me to ask now or am I later? This is Nancy.
Well, is it the items you already put on the agenda?
Yes, and I don't remember where they were posted.
Yeah, they were later.
Okay.
Right now would be for questions that are, you know, mainly focused on the current period we're in and the most immediate next period coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Any more? If not, then wonderful. We can end this part of it early. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. And, let me join the chorus of thanks to Terry for... you know, making that sacrifice. I think everyone really appreciates you looking out for everyone's best interest. Okay, so the next item is the number of columns on the ballot, and Lydia added that to the agenda. So you want to introduce that?
I had asked the KPFK election committee members for their opinion on this. At KPFK, there's 38 candidates, and to have a list of 38 candidates down one side of a piece of paper, and then 38 columns for ranking candidates can't really fit on even a legal-sized piece of paper. It would be having to go front and back, which raises issues of candidates who are on the back of the ballot feeling incredibly, you know, disadvantaged. And so I suggested the possibility of limiting the number of ranking columns. And I have pretty much decided that I'm going to do that. And here's the logic. Because we allow people to give multiple candidates the same ranking, people can still rank all 38 candidates. For example, I like this candidate. My first choice, this person my second. the four people, I'm going to rank all of them number three. These 10 people, I'm going to rank all of them number four, et cetera, et cetera. So it's easy to rank all the people. And the fact is, by the time you get to your 19th candidate, very few people really care whether they rank the 19th person ahead of the 20th or the 20th ahead of the 19th. So since we allow multiple rankings, multiple candidates to get the same ranking, people can still rank every candidate. And since it's a single transferable vote, meaning each voter actually only has one vote, they're not voting, like if there's nine seats, they're not voting for nine people, they're voting for one person, and the extra rankings are just giving their ballot marching orders so that if their first choice can't use their vote can count for their second choice. It will be very, very few people whose ballot will actually progress all the way down to like a fifth, sixth, or seventh choice. And to get all the way to the 20th choice, person would sort of have to know who were the losers were to manage to not have their vote count. So mathematically, it really cannot harm a voter's prerogatives by limiting the number of rankings, and it makes the ballot design and the voter experience a lot more manageable. So I asked them whether they thought that would be a good idea or not, and they gave me their email responses, and I've since then spoken with Election Services Corporation, and I've decided that I am going to have fewer for most of the stations, it won't matter, because if you have 19 candidates, there's going to be 19 rankings. If you have 20 candidates, there'll be 20 rankings. So it's basically just WPFW and KPFK where it might be relevant.
Can I speak to that, James?
Lydia,
you had asked.
1 second. Lydia had actually put this on the agenda, so let me call on her next and then Jane. And did I hear another voice?
Michael.
Okay. Lydia.
I agree that more than likely by the time you get to that 38th candidate, the votes will have been exhausted, the ranking. However, I think it detracts from the election and from encouraging people to participate in the election if you cut off the rest of, those votes and they're not. And especially when you do it mid-election. Like, you do it in advance, let anybody, if you're going to enter this, candidacy and be a candidate, that if you rank below so-and-so, I mean, we're not going to have, we can't have that many columns or whatever. So I think that that's it's bad in practice, but especially mid-election. However, I also want to point out that in 2004 at KPFK, which I originally had written to Terry and said, oh, I don't see a problem with this. But then when I got off over the weekend, I started looking into it further. And in 2004, KPFK had 52 candidates. I don't remember it being a back and front ballot. I don't remember how they did it. There must be a sample somewhere, maybe a larger ballot. I don't know. But we had 52 candidates in that election.
I suspect what they did.
And most of the legal challenges that we've had have been around, or not most, but several of the challenges that we've had have been with the alternate. We've also, just since the last election here at KPFK, for example, exhausted four of our alternates. So those alternate seats are really important. I know that goes beyond, the 9 to 15 or whatever. But nevertheless, I just think it's really mid-election. I mean, if we decided to do this in advance and you can let the candidates know, I just think we're begging for trouble because people who aren't familiar with STV, these candidates, like I look at our list, I don't know most of those candidates. And they come in with a certain expectation, usually unrealistic, and then to slap them down further and say, oh, well, we didn't have room on the ballot, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
You do understand all the candidates will appear.
No, all the candidates, right. I know, but all the columns to allow them to be ranked and transferred over.
Well,
they're
all allowed to be ranked. Every single candidate is equal opportunity to be ranked. So.
Right. But you're cutting off from at 25, right, as opposed to 38.
The
I know
idea
it's just my opinion.
Okay.
And so, so I have a motion, whether it's for future reference. It won't get on the PMB. We have a crammed agenda, but others can speak to this before I move the motion.
Okay. So, yeah, let's hear from others, and then we can come back to you. So next was Jane.
The last, just I recall the last ballot that, or possibly one before, it was so incredibly small. The type was just too small, and it had to do with that many, many column problem. So by forcing so many columns over to the right, I found, I mean, it was awful. I thought it was a completely unintelligible ballot. So I believe that a solution has to be, I think that the best solution will be one that does not produce an unintelligible ballot like that one was. So I just want to support the idea, although I agree it sounds confusing right now from what I'm hearing. Maybe there's an easy way for it to be explained.
Okay, Michael?
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know how much time was allotted to this.
Oh, sorry.
I got knocked off for
5 minutes.
Yes, it was 5 minutes.
It was 5 minutes.
And I've emailed the motion.
Okay.
Okay, so, all right, do we pull 10? We have 10 minutes left over from Terry's report.
Right. Well, let me ask, is there any objection to adding the 10 minutes left over from the report to this item? Okay, hearing none, so this will add 10 more minutes to this.
Okay, so I don't know when this actually...
Yeah, I think that if there are at least 25 columns, it would be better than just 20. I think particularly at WPFW where they're electing 18 listener reps this time, right? They have that, because they had a lack of a quorum. So then you're talking about ranking at least 18 people, and you want to rank the alternates as well. I think you need to have enough room to do that. If they have 25 people running, I think all 25 should get a chance to get ranked. And if you had at least 25 at KPFK, that would go farther. I'm not sure if that would be sufficient or not, but it would be better than just 20.
Revelin to the stack?
Yes, go ahead, Revelin.
Okay. I have always struggled with STV voting. And I love math, and at one point was a math major, so it's not about that. It has more to do with after I pick the six or seven people that I know, then it's just I'm just putting numbers by name, you know. And so I don't know what the solution is. I'm at WPFW, and 24 people have to be elected, and 20 of those, you know, are going to be, I'm going to have to rank. And like someone recently said, some of the names I don't know. So it ends up being, in many ways, a system that is not fair because it is too cumbersome once you get over maybe six or seven people. And that's my opinion.
I would just
I don't
say
know what that we can do about
a key
it.
Piece of information is that, and we'll try and do this with voter education, is that all the rankings below number one are contingency backup plans. Is people are not voting for all the people they rank. They're voting for one person as their first choice, and all the other rankings are just there in case their first choice can't use their vote. And so almost nobody's ballot will actually count for like their fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth choice. Almost unheard of to go to like ninth or tenth. To go all the way to 20th, it's like one in a billion elections could a ballot actually count for the 20th choice. It's just mathematically implausible. Because remember, it's called single transferable vote. Each voter only has one vote to help one candidate, but if there's a surplus, it might help a second candidate or even a third. But to go way down the ballot, it just mathematically just doesn't happen.
So should they leave that blank?
It doesn't really matter. It's you know, many people will rank, since there's nine seats, many people will rank nine candidates just because it feels right to them. There's no logical reason for that, just how the system works. But ranking more than seven or eight people, it just becomes busy work because it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's never going to affect the election.
Thank you.
Ken to the stack.
Yes, Ken, go ahead.
I've just, with all due respect, I beg to differ.
It depends on the quantity of voters and so forth. That's a mathematical issue. If somebody, if the threshold is 300 and your candidate gets 1,000 votes, 700 votes are going to carry down the line proportionally. And at the end of the day, the points, they matter. It's a question of how many people are voting and how many seats.
Right, right,
and
yes.
What the threshold is, and it's potentially possible that somebody's votes could count down to 20. I mean,
yeah,
you certainly,
you know, one,
you
one,
certainly
one
can't.
You have a vote for somebody down to the bottom.
Yeah, but that may, right, that may cause the other guy who doesn't have it to be disqualified.
Yep, you're right. It's certainly mathematically possible that the very last ranking.
All I'm saying is all I really meant to say was you certainly couldn't say that. You couldn't advise the voters to say there's no point in ranking over 9 or over 15.
Right, we wouldn't say that.
You just couldn't say that.
Well, what we would say is rank at least one, indicate your first choice, and rank as many other candidates as you have an opinion about. That's typically how we describe it.
Okay, that's all. I had to come in late. I'm sorry. It's whatever problems we're having with the high number of candidates can't be resolved with sending out 2 separate ballots or 3 separate ballots.
Well, that's one way.
What's wrong with
it?
Just more paper?
Money?
More paper. Paper's cheap.
Money? But money is
not. No, it's not going to increase the postage. Extra piece of paper, and then they're clear, easy to read. It's all it's all processed by computer. It doesn't take more effort. So more paper is not much of a problem.
Well, yeah. All right. It is an issue in terms of voter ease and candidates who are on the second piece of paper feeling pissed off that they weren't on the front of the ballot, kind of thing.
If you don't have the opportunity,
it's a balancing trick. It's a balancing trick of balancing the voters' ease, the candidate's feeling of fairness, the mathematics.
Can you rotate the names?
We check, and that's very expensive with a ranked choice ballot with Election Service Corporation. It is mathematically possible they can do it for.
Oh, okay, but I understand. But if there were 3 sheets, you could sort them and say, well, 3rd of them they had this sheet on top. You don't have to number the sheets. You could make them X, Q, and F. And put them in separate sequences.
Well, the candidate names are going to be in alphabetical order, starting with a randomly selected candidate, so people can actually find the candidate they're looking for. If it's completely random, then people just give up trying to find that person.
I see. Okay. My thing is the simplest solution to too many candidates is extra sheets of paper.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. Let me ask Revelyn where we're at on the time. How many minutes are left?
Okay, we're time. I'm sorry. We're at time.
Oh, we're at time now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know that Lydia had a motion and Jane wants to speak. So does someone want to make a motion to extend time on this?